إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. I welcome all of you. I will continue the reading the explanation of Kitab al-Tawheed من الملخص في شرح كتاب التوحيد لفضيلة الشيخ الوالد الدكتور صالح الفوزان حفظه الله. Chapter 19. Today we will start the chapter 19 in Kitab al-Tawheed. قال شيخ الإسلام الإمام المجدد محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله باب ما جاء أن سبب كفر بني آدم وتركهم دينهم هو الغلو في الصالحين. باب ما جاء أن سبب كفر بني آدم وتركهم دينهم هو الغلو في الصالحين. This chapter is about, as is entitled, excessive dogma in the righteous persons is the root that cause people from Bani Adam to disbelieve and therefore to deviate from the true religion that they're supposed to be upon. And then the Sheikh mentioned five proofs in this chapter. Five proofs in this chapter. As usual, he started them by the ayat. He mentioned the ayah 171 in Surah النساء. قال وقول الله عز وجل يا أهل الكتاب لا تغلوا في دينكم. يا أهل الكتاب, O people of the scripture, meaning the Christians and Jews and the Christian, do not exceed the limits in your religion, nor say of Allah anything but the truth, but the haqq. مناسبة الباب لكتاب التوحيد. As usual, Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, حفظه الله تعالى, first, he will tell us the reason why Sheikh al-Islam, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, رحمه الله, have this chapter in this book, the relevance of this chapter to Kitab al-Tawheed. قال أن المصنف رحمه الله لما بين بعد ما يفعله عباد القبور مع الأموات من الشرك المضاد للتوحيد أراد في هذا الباب أن يبين السبب في ذلك ليحذر ويجتنب, وهو الغلو في الصالحين. The reason Sheikh says that the مصنف Sheikh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab رحمه الله brought this chapter not only in Kitab al-Tawheed but at this place, okay, he says, because before, in the previous chapters, has already made clear with details the actions of those who worship graves by them turning to the dead people in their graves, asking them, calling upon them, seeking refuge with them. These are actions of shirk that contradict and oppose Tawheed. So after he mentions some of that, he wants now in this chapter to give the reasons why these people do these things. In this chapter, we'll explain why some people who claim Islam and they say La ilaha illallah and the like, Why they fall into shirk. And he's bringing this so that it will be known the reasons that lead to destruction, so that the people will avoid them and be aware of them. And that's going too far as related to the righteous people. ما المعنى الإجمالي للآية, the general meaning of this verse. قال ينهى الله اليهود والنصارى عن تعدي ما حدد الله لهم بأن لا يرفع المخلوق فوق منزلته التي أنزله الله وينزلوه المنزلة التي لا تنبغي إلا لله. He said this ayah, the explanation of it, it contains prohibition. And Allah, in this ayah, addressing the people of the book, the Jews and the Christians, they've been prohibited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from exceeding the limits that Allah has set for them. And from that, they should not raise any of the creation in a level above that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already put them in. And especially when they raise certain creation to the level of the Creator Himself. وَلَيَّادُ بِاللَّهِ. Because the Jews, they say, Uzair is the son of Allah. وَلَيَّادُ بِاللَّهِ. The Christians, they say, Jesus, Isa, the son of Mary, is the son of God. And also they say, some of them say, he is God Himself. And they give them qualities that is only for the Creator, subhanahu wa ta'ala. They call upon them, they seek refuge with them, and the like. So they are prohibited from doing these things. Munasabatul ayah al-bab. Then the Shaykh, he gave us the reason why Shaykh al-Islam, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, chose this ayah as a proof in this chapter. قال لأن فيها النهي عن الغلو مطلقا. Because this ayah contains a prohibition against غلو, going to extreme, period. فيشمل الغلو في الصالحين. So therefore, it comprises and includes going to far and going to extreme as related to the righteous people. Because the mushrikeen, they call upon these righteous people, and if you remember, we learn in the Usul al-Sitta, the six foundations, that the shaitan played tricks with the people. That's why it is very important to seek knowledge. When you seek knowledge, you make it difficult for the shaitan, and you know the path. Shaitan, as Allah tells us in the Quran, has no power over the people. All the shaitan do is send invitations. And certain people, they honor those invitations, and they walk with their own feet to the trap that is set for them by the shaitan. But those who have knowledge and seek knowledge along with sincerity, ikhlas, because tawfiq is only from Allah. Somebody may know a whole lot and they still deviant. Somebody may memorize the whole Quran, recite it in a way that you never heard before, still commit shirk, still call upon other than Allah. But so seeking knowledge is very important. So those people who call upon these dead people because of the trick of the shaitan, they says because they are righteous. Yes, they are righteous. We have no problem with that. But they says no, they call upon them because these are not regular people. These are people that were so righteous that they have a makana with Allah. Of course, they have a makana, inshallah. But still, they don't deserve to be worshipped beside Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. قال الشيخ والخطاب وإن كان لأهل الكتاب فإنه عام يتناول جميع الأمة تحذيرا لهم أن يفعلوا في نبيهم وصالحيهم فعل النصارى في المسيح واليهود في عزير. Then the Shaykh says, even though that this ayah, Allah is addressing the Jews and the Christians, okay? Even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing, because he said, يا أهل الكتاب, Allah is addressing the people of the book, the Jews and the Christians, but its meaning in general. All the Ummah, warning them against doing these actions of the Jews and the Christians, warning us, this Ummah, to go to extreme as related to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or as related to the righteous of this Ummah from the Sahaba, the Tabi'een, the Atba' al-Tabi'een, the great Imams, and those righteous people. And Allah warned us that we should not follow the footsteps of the Christians and them going overboard and exceeding the limits that Allah set for them as related to how they look at the Messiah, Isa, the son of Mary, alayhi salam, or the path that was taken by the Jews as related to Uzair. So even though this Allah is addressing the people of the book, but this, the meaning of this ayah is general. And as there is a principle that the ulama, they mentioned, they says, al-ibratu bi'umumi al-lafzi la bi-khususi al-sabab. Al-ibra bi'umumi al-lafz la bi-khususi al-sabab is the principle. It says when an ayah is addressing someone or certain people, a specific topic, a specific person, but the meaning is general. Like this one, Allah is addressing the people of the book, but this prohibition, not just only for them, for anyone who followed their path. Because now, some people, they like, listen, this ayah, why are you bringing this ayah? We're not Jew, we're not Christian, we're Muslims. Says, no man, what this is about the action. Allah is addressing the Jews and Christians because of their actions. And since you're doing that action, so you're resembling them. And many you find the ulama, like Shaykh al-Islam, Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, as we're going to mention some of it, like right in the next page, inshallah ta'ala, that those from this ummah who have knowledge and don't act upon it, they learn but don't act upon it, they resemble the Jews, al-Yahud. Because the Yahud, they have knowledge, but they put it to the side and follow their desires. And Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, and from this ummah, who just do actions of worship without learning, without knowledge, they resemble the Christian. Because the Christian, they just follow whatever they think is right. They don't have knowledge, they don't check to the knowledge. ما يستفاد من الآية؟ What is some of the benefits of this verse? Number one, تحريم الغلو في الأشخاص والأعمال وغير ذلك. That is strictly forbidden to go to extreme as related to raising certain people above the status that Allah put them in, and also going overboard as related to certain actions also. So it doesn't mean just because a person, he was so righteous, alhamdulillah, was so righteous. But doesn't mean just because they were so righteous, when they die, people will go and build a tomb on their graves and go there, oh, so and so, give me, help me out. And when people are asked, why are you calling upon this person? He's a human being. They says, yes, but he's not any human being. Not like me and you. This man was so righteous. He did so much. He salat. Says, alhamdulillah, whatever that person did is good for him. Now this person, he needs Allah's mercy himself. This person cannot even benefit himself. He's dead. So don't call upon him, because this person needs your dua. You ask Allah, so oh Allah, have mercy on this person. Oh Allah, accept their deeds. Oh Allah, overlook their mistakes and the like. Number two, الرد على اليهود والنصارى ومن شابههم في غلوهم في الأشخاص والأعمال وغير ذلك. It's a refutation against the Jews and the Christians and whoever resembled them and follow their path. What is that which they refuted here? غلو. Their extreme. they go to extreme as related to persons and actions and the like of this. So ghulu is not good, going to extreme. We should stick to the middle course. We don't go to one extreme like they did, and any righteous person, we worship them and we attach our hearts to them, and just because they were righteous, now they still can help us and they have something, this and that. That's one extreme that we should avoid. And then the other extreme we should avoid too is that we should not neglect the fact that these people, they were righteous. Okay? Yes, we should recognize what these people did, what they have left, especially if they left knowledge, if they left good things. We don't say they're nobody. Nah, that person is nobody. No, they are. They were some people. They were righteous people, and we respect them for that, and we recognize the efforts that they put forward when they were alive, but once they died, they can't do anything. طيب. ثالثا الحث على لزوم الاعتدال في الدين وجميع الأمور بين جانبي الإفراط والتفريط. الحث على لزوم الاعتدال في الدين وجميع الأمور بين جانبي الإفراط والتفريط. Likewise, one of the benefits from this verse that it incites us to have i'tidal in the religion, to be moderate. And to be moderate, this comes through knowledge. It's not a person he's going to like find by himself the path of moderation. This comes through knowledge and through humbling yourself and through paying attention to the knowledge when it is given. It's very important to pay attention, not just to be somewhere where a class is given, where a lecture is given, when a book is even explained. It's not enough to just be in the place. Being in a place is a good thing, alhamdulillah. It's better than not being there. But what's going to even make it better and give you even more benefit is that if we pay attention, the more we pay attention, the more we're going to get some more benefits in that lecture. But if we space out for a minute, because we're human beings, this may happen to us. If we space out and start thinking about the dunya while the class is still, we'll lose some benefits. And what about if we start talking to each other? Or we start checking our texts or emails? I understand some people now, they use the phones, alhamdulillah, because they take notes. That's a good thing. But the bottom line is that who get more benefit? Of course, the one who pay attention and his mind and heart is with him in a whole lecture. That's what makes the difference. Sometimes you find this in the mashayikh, Sheikh bin Baz rahimahullah ta'ala, you find people, they sit with Sheikh bin Baz for years. And then a group of people, but only a few of them, they were very strong. And of course, it has to do with a lot of things. The level of intelligence and intellect too. As Al-Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned a point in his book, Sharh al-Sunnah. First of all, he says, intellect is a ni'mah from Allah. It's not up to you. It's from Allah. And the people, they are different when it comes to level of intellect. This is from Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some people, subhanAllah, they hear it, it's gone, that's it, it's right there. Other people, they have to hear it twice. Some people, they have to hear it 10 times. There's nothing wrong with those people who have to hear it 10 times. Actually, it's good because they make an effort. Some people, you recite an ayah, you recite a hadith, it's in there. You don't have to say it twice. They memorize it. Just they say it like that. Allah give them that. Some people now, they said you have to read the ayah for them twice. Or themselves, they have to hear it. They have to hear the hadith. Some people, they hear a hadith, for example, in khutbah of Jumu'ah, they memorize it. Inshallah. They memorize it in Jumu'ah while they're still sitting. Other people, they know what he talked, but he didn't know. That's why they may come to the person who gave the khutbah or somebody else. Akhi, you mentioned a hadith, I don't know, but it's like about. Said, where can I find it? Oh, yeah, it's in Bukhari. This, Zakallah khair. They go home, they sit down, I don't know. Doesn't matter how long it takes them. But look at the zeal. They want it. All right? And if you go home, his wife says, hold on, I got you. I got to move that desk, okay? Let me get this. All right, let me get this. Come and eat. It's okay. Can you give me 5 minutes? I join you guys. And he sit there, or she sit there, until they memorize the hadith. That's what makes the difference. So this was going to help us. Not just me reading the Kitab al-Tawheed, somebody sleepy, or somebody thinking of, I don't know what they're thinking, or somebody, I don't know where. No. Well, I understand we're human. Some people are tired, some are sleepy, some are sick, some have concerns. But let us at least, like Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, used to always remind his students, because Shaykh al-Uthaymeen used to look around. He's giving the class and he's checking his students. Like this. Even if somebody is behind somebody, he's like, who's that behind that? Is he okay? Let us see you, akhi. See, that's Shaykh al-Uthaymeen. I'm not going to do that because sometimes people get offended. Even though we're doing it only for their good and their good benefits. But alhamdulillah, I'm not Shaykh al-Uthaymeen. And I'm not going to do that. All I'm going to do is to remind you and this reminder for myself. I understand people come, alhamdulillah, people do come and sit in a class. I don't know, some people, maybe they work a whole night. They work the whole night, or maybe they work late. Some people, maybe they were sick, or their family were sick, and they were up with them. But still, alhamdulillah, they sit in this class. We say, Jazakumullahu khairan wa barakallahu fikum. But just give it a little bit, you know, go that extra step and focus. Just focus. Inshallah ta'ala, you may get some benefit. Barakallahu feekum wa jazakumullahu khairan. So, al-hathu ala luzum al-i'tizal. This ayah incites us to be moderate in the religion, in all affairs. And we should not find ourselves to one extreme, far to the right or far to the left. And even in the dunya, we know that. If you go on the highway, all right, and there is a ditch on this side, and there is another ditch on the left side, and there is no shoulders, what would you do? Stay in the middle course, man. There is 3 lanes. Now this is 2 ditches. Far, deep, no shoulders. What is the safest place? The middle course. Are you going to be driving far to the right? Now you're right there. You're by the edge. Because if you make a mistake in the middle lane, still you can, mashallah, if you swerve to the right, still can come back. Swerve to the left, still can come back. But if you're way far to the right, and you go to the right, what happened? You're in a ditch. So likewise, some people, they go to extreme. It's from the tricks of the shaitan. They think they're the only one that know the haq, that's it. Nobody know the truth. And they start calling names and shots. They're not on it, they're not this, they're not that. That's extreme. That's going to extreme. How can a person say, we're the only one upon the haq? A'udhu billah. Nobody can say that. That's extreme. Actually, if you are upon the haq, won't you make yourself available and teach those who are not upon the haq? Instead of just calling them names, won't you go? This is what Islam teaches. Those who know should teach those who don't. And you humble yourself. Don't just call them names. Now you go and teach them. Can you imagine a doctor? He's a doctor. He knows what to do. there is an epidemic, a big problem, and he just said, oh, those guys, man, they got the disease. They're going to die. Go do something about it. You have a bag of medicine and shots. Go do something about it. That's your job. And we don't go to the other extreme, that everything is okay. You practice, you don't practice. You learn, you don't learn. You're straight. No, it's not straight. So it's very important for us to understand these things. So we stay to the middle course. Number four, التحذير من الشرك وأسبابه ووسائله. Likewise, another benefit. This ayah is a warning against shirk and against all the means that may lead to shirk. That's the beauty of this religion. It warns against things, but also it warns us against the things that lead to it. Like, for example, it warns us against shirk. But also you find that Islam warns us against the means and anything that leads to shirk. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make forbidden zina, fornication, adultery, but also the paths and the means that lead to it is haram. The paths that leads to it, it's haram. To protect the person, to protect the persons. We're going to stop here, inshallah ta'ala. We'll continue next time. Subhanakallah wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.